From studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of Thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to the second hour of the Common Sense Show. Sure glad you're with us on this weekend as we review the news and bring some lively topics to bear on a cold, cold period of time throughout the country. Jim Brown here, and we've got a full next hour, so stay with us, freshen up your coffee, and enjoy our show. I read in the paper, I guess yesterday, that J.P. Morgan Chase, one of the largest banking operations in the country, just almost doubled the salary, increased the salary by 85%. J.P. Morgan's president, a guy named Jamie Dimon, paying him $20 million a year. So I guess that means the economy is humming, the stock market is up, all is well, and that Wall Street is under control. There's no problems on Wall Street. There's no insider trading going on anymore. Life's just bouncing along pretty well, right? Well, my next guest doesn't feel that way. Larry Doyle is joining me right now on the show. Written a fascinating new book called In Bed with Wall Street. You can find it on my website at jimbrownusa.com. Larry's a former mortgage securities trader. He's worked for a number of major companies in this country and written extensively about the financial situation in this country today, particularly on Wall Street. Larry, glad you joined us today. Welcome to the Common Sense Show.
Jim, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Now, Larry, to some people, in some people's mind, they say, well, the stock market is over 15,000, dropped a little bit Friday, but still, if you got a little stocks, you're making money, and the financial world seems to be bouncing along pretty well. We kind of laugh at that Leonardo DiCaprio movie about all the wheeling and dealing on Wall Street, and so things are going pretty well. Do you agree with that or not in terms of the regulatory flow? In other words, there's a real tight watchdog operation out of Washington, D.C. that's watching these guys, and there's no real problems. Agree or don't agree?
I totally disagree. In fact, if you know people, if you were to try to sell that message to you know the folks out in the country, I think you'd get a whole just you know they'd say you know you're ludicrous. Now, granted, the economy is slowly recovering, but there's a massive disconnect between Wall Street and Main Street. Wall Street, to a large extent, is up because of the Federal Reserve. Thank you, Ben Bernanke, for pumping in $3 trillion worth of funding into the market. That has benefited Wall Street in the hope that it would, spur some activity in the economy. And again, the economy is slowly recovering. But hope is not an economic program. Hope is a virtue, but hope is not an economic program. And, when you look at serious economic measures, you know, there's real pain out there. So there's this disconnect, and yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah, but Larry, some people say, yeah, but you know, after that 2008 debacle, that you've got the Securities Exchange Commission, you've got other regulators out there, got their good handle. The financial police has a real good handle. They're monitoring these folks, and they're certainly competent and are really on top of all these charges that are being made. So you got a good regulatory system, don't you? So why the worry? How would you respond to that?
Jim, I would respond to that with, and this gets right to the heart of my book, the regulators are in bed with the industry. And none other than the fellow who exposed the Bernie Madoff scam, a fellow by the name of Harry Markopoulos. Harry Markopoulos, in February of 2009, went in front of Congress and stated that the SEC was totally incompetent, but worse than that, and America should listen very closely here, Wall Street's own self-regulator, an outfit called FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, Harry Markopoulos defined this entity as being in bed with the industry and worthy of an A-plus in corruption. That's a problem.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Well, anytime you've got self-regulation, I rarely see where self-regulation works. The good buzz on that, we're going to crack down our own, but I can go right down the line with you. It doesn't work self-regulation within law enforcement. It doesn't work self-regulation. I'm a lawyer, and to think that there's self-regulation going on, it just don't work. You can't pick an area of concern where there's not some vested interest looking out for their particular niche and doing a good job of self-regulation. And you know, listen, I watch this stuff pretty closely. I've read most of the major books about what happened at Wall Street, and I'm very cynical. I've never heard of FINRA before. Now, FINRA is a self-regulatory group. Was it formed within the banking industry itself, or how was FINRA formed, and how effective are they?
Well, I mean, not very effective. I define them as meter maids, and if you look at the statistics in terms of the fines that they impose on Wall Street, they total about 0.1% of Wall Street's top line revenue. So no doubt why Wall Street likes being self-regulated. But yes, I have to understand, FINRA was only formed as a result of a merger of two other regulatory entities in 2007. FINRA's parents go all the way back to the 1930s when it was kind of like the first wave of meaningful financial regulation that came out of the Great Depression. Their parents have had very checkered pasts, again, largely protecting the industry instead of upholding their mandate to protect investors. And you know what? A lot of people would say, oh, you know, maybe that's an aggressive statement. But what I've done in my book is, what you need to do is you got to follow the money. And that's exactly what I've done. I've followed the money within this organization and the funds that go from Wall Street to Washington, which in turn, what comes back to Wall Street, looks basically to be like a payoff, if not protection. And it's egregious. It's huge money. And the regulator itself, following the money within this organization, you know, the executives benefit tremendously. But who's really paying the price? Investors, consumers, and ultimately the American taxpayer. They're not being properly protected.
No doubt about it. Now, but what about this, now, Larry? Some people say, well, you know, but within this huge operation, the financial industry, you've got to have whistleblowers who are out there kind of letting regulators know, letting members of Congress know that some of this is going on. And so aren't there effective whistleblowers out there that have been trying to bring the battle cry out there that something just don't smell right, doesn't pass the smell test?
Well, Jim, again, this gets very interesting, and I highlight in my book about 10 separate individuals who were trying to blow the whistle on Wall Street. And what happened to these individuals? They were ignored. Even worse, they were intimidated, some of whom physically intimidated, if not just merely professionally intimidated, as if that's not bad enough. Or oftentimes, they're outright fired. And these weren't just junior-level people. These were senior-level people, both within the banks as well as within the regulators, both FINRA and the SEC. In the past 25 years, there has been one meaningful whistleblower award paid out by the SEC. About 10 others, I would define as token-type payments. So Wall Street, to a large extent, has imposed almost this code of silence. And that's a problem, because without the information, you're not going to get meaningful justice.
No doubt about it. And this is not easy stuff to dig out, too. This is very technical information, various interpretations of it, and this whole web of insider trading and all this is just so uncertain. Larry, let me do this. I've got to take a break right now. Stay with me, if you will. I've got so many more questions to you. We're talking right now to Larry Doyle. He's written a fascinating book called In Bed with Wall Street, A Look at the Incestuous Relationship Between Wall Street, Washington, and the Regulatory Agencies and How They're Failing Us. You can find the book on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, we're going to take a little pause right now. Come back and put Larry on the spot with some more questions. Jim Brown, the Common Sense Show. Freshen up your coffee, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense. right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNlive.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means, cold and flu season. But don't worry, HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, A-L-K-A-Vision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, we're talking about Wall Street, all the money, the billions of dollars that flow. I just saw the end of the year bonuses have never been higher up in Wall Street. You'd think everything is well, except my guest Larry Doyle says that something just don't smell right in Denmark because there's a lot of wheeling dealing going on, and the structure is just not there. As I read from your book, Larry, there's always going to be, I don't care what profession you get into, there's always going to be some people that try to get their edge, that take advantage, that cross cross the line. That's why you need strong regulation. That's just not going on. Let me ask you this. And by the way, the book's called In Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy. Find it on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Larry, let me ask you this. What have you seen in terms of campaign contributions? Does Wall Street pour a lot of money into legislators, key legislators that pass legislation that regulate them? We hear about that money is the mother's milk of politics. What have you found in terms of Wall Street's involvement along those lines?
Jim, Wall Street owns Washington. And, in following the money, there's a reason why so many legislators want to get on the different congressional financial, House banking, Senate finance committees, because, again, this is where they can go to get Wall Street's money. Wall Street, between 1998 and 2008, sent on average $500 million to Washington for those every campaign cycle. Since then, because there's been more on the line in the last two campaign cycles, those levels have tripled. That's huge money. Mm. And what comes back to Wall Street, again, is effectively lax regulation. And what happens? What is America being fed? I'll tell you what America is being fed. They're being fed what I define as kind of like shadow boxing, where you have certain contingencies in Washington. Oh, we need more regulation, throw a right. Others, less regulation, throw a left. What we really need is we need appropriate regulation enforced by real regulators. And that's what we're not getting.
Well, Larry, let me ask you this. You get off my show today, and you have a little – you live on the East Coast, don't you?
I live outside of New York City.
All right, so, you know, you're getting – you maybe have a little brunch and have your coffee, and it's kind of cold. You're in front of the fire, and the phone rings. And they say, hold on. This is the White House. Hold on for the president. The president comes on and says, Larry, I just heard you on Jim Brown's show. You know, I listen to Jim Brown every Sunday, and I heard you today talk about this problem in bed with Wall Street. Larry, I'd like you to lay me out a plan to tell me step by step exactly what you do to clean up this mess. We've got a perception problem, and we've got an actual problem in terms of the money being wasted and the American taxpayers not protected. So, Larry, what should I do? What are you going to tell the president, Larry?
Jim, great question. In the final chapter of my book, I lay out 10 specific reforms and then 4 public policy measures. So we don't have time to go over all 14 of those. The reforms go straight to disclosures and transparency. The relationship between Wall Street and Washington, it's so opaque. And in America, Americans get that something's broken. And that's reflected in such anemic levels of trust and confidence. What do we need? We need transparency and disclosure, because that way we get to the truth. Specific reforms. We need information. Where do we get information from? Whistleblowers. We need a separate office of whistleblower protection. In my opinion, if we establish that for Wall Street, that will go a long way in changing the culture in the industry, and I would like to see that used as a model across the entire government so that we can get, you know, whistleblower protection. They can talk about having whistleblower protection in the government, but you know what? I would seriously challenge that. Other things that we should do. Self-regulation for Wall Street, in my opinion, does not work. The case is overwhelming that self-regulation doesn't work. So in my opinion, we should take the self-regulator, roll it into the SEC. People would say, well, wait a second, the SEC, you know, they're incompetent. We should only end self-regulation in concert with what I would define as a financial regulatory review board. There are cities around the country where you will have police abuse. What do? They bring in private citizens to have a police oversight board to make sure that the police departments are acting in an ethical fashion and serve as a go-between between the police and the mayor's office. I think we should do the exact same thing in terms of this financial regulatory review board to sit between the regulators and Congress. Congress is both bought and paid for, but they also don't even understand this stuff. They really don't. So those are, you know, what I would define as the three, you know, key reforms Then we get into campaign finance reform and breaking up the banks. Those are, you know, those are much larger measures. But, Mr. President, if you want to save your last 3 years of your term, start to get to work on this stuff.
Well, Larry, let me ask you this. Are you finding any response out of Congress? I agree with you that in all those committees, it seems like those congressmen and senators get on there just to reap the campaign contributions. But is there any responsible voices coming out of Congress? We got members of Congress elected all over the country in other problem areas like the NSA and all the security breaches. There are some pretty reasonable members of Congress speaking out against the president and against the system. But are you finding any responsible voices out there at all that are agreeing with you and me?
Sure. I mean, the fellow right there from Louisiana, Mr. Vitter, he has been trying to promote, along with a congressman from Ohio, Brown Vitter, to address breaking up the banks. They don't get a lot of airtime with that topic, but ultimately, these banks are so large, and they need to be broken up in order to bring some true sense of competition to, you know, start promoting free market capitalism. These banks are dangerous, and they were dangerous before. They've only gotten that much more dangerous. So, but they're few and far between. There's only a handful. There was a fellow from Delaware named Ted Kaufman. Again, what happens? They get totally muzzled. They get muzzled, yeah. and they don't get their voices aren't heard. So these issues really need to get into the court of public opinion, which is why shows like yours, Jim, are so important.
Well, Larry, you've written a great book and raising some real serious questions about the future of those of us who don't have the huge stock portfolios, aren't part of the Wall Street flow of money, that we're out there just searching for information and thinking our elected officials are going to do the right thing. And you've summed up the pros and the cons of how far we have to go. Book is called In Bed with Wall Street, The Conspiracy Crippling Our Global Economy. Larry Doyle is the author. You can find him on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Larry, do you have your own website or not?
Well, Jim, this is great. I mean, your show is Common Sense. My website is Sense on Sense. S-E-N-S-E on C-E-N-T-S. So how about that, huh?
Good. That's great. Sense on Sense, C-E-N-T-S, right, on the end.
Exactly.
So, Larry, we're out of time. Hey,
yeah, thanks
for being with us. We'll follow up with you in a few months. I'd like to talk to you some more. But have a good weekend, and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Interesting guy in bed with Wall Street. And, boy, there are problems up there that, unfortunately, the average person just doesn't understand. Coming on back with much more in the show. Long way to go. Freshen you up your coffee, and I'll be right back and make some more Common Sense. Take care.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is the old Cajun contractor Michael King here, host of Home Talk USA. Did you know that you can now shop and purchase online quality name brand tools and accessories at discounted prices from one of the top most visited online hardware stores, The Handy City? That's right. You can now take the hassle of having to go out and purchase these products. Just think, you can now order all of the top name brands from the comfort of your home computer and have it delivered straight to you in most cases. And the shipping is free. All the products are personally endorsed by me and guaranteed 100% by the manufacturer by using our online store. You'll be also helping to keep our popular home improvement radio show on the air. So please check out our website today at TheHandyCity.com. That's TheHandyCity.com. I'll say it again, TheHandyCity.com. Quality products at discount prices straight to you. I have only one thing I can say. Sauce le bon ton roulet. Let the good times roll. Yai!
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338. And talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, in the first hour of the show, we had a guest, John Goetz, who talked about Alzheimer's and the fact that death panels could determine end-of-life care just because they would withhold the money. If you're on Social Security, if you're on Medicaid, and Medicare, as I am, say with Medicare, then if a panel said, looking at your life expectancy and looking at your health condition, we just think that spending $100,000 that operation just doesn't make sense. So we're not going to approve the money. Now, you can make whatever decision you want with your money, but the feds are not going to pay for it. And we got into the question of end of life and who makes that determination. Now, that's a tougher one because if you know that the person can live for a few more years, should government be in a role of cutting that off? And I think most of us would say absolutely no. But then you come down to cost, where someone is brain dead. They could live for 15, 20 years. The cost is astronomical. And the family can, if they can handle that, it costs fine. But should you and I pay that cost, you see? Well, I want to take it a step further. There's a ruling this week out of New Mexico that presented an interesting question. We talked about this on the show before. The state court in New Mexico said just past Monday that terminally ill residents have a constitutional right to obtain, quote, aid in dying. In other words, if doctors can legally prescribe fatal drug doses that suffering patients can use to end their lives. New Mexico becomes the fifth state to allow doctors to do this. And here's what the court said. The judge up there on the Court of Appeals said, this court cannot envision a right more fundamental, more private, or more integral to the liberty, safety, and happiness of a New Mexican than the right of a competent, terminally ill patient to choose aid in dying. That's what the case brought. And the case was brought by two doctors who wanted protection because if they provided the fatal drug, to someone, gave a prescription, then they could be prosecuted. And there was also a patient there, Adja Riggs. She, a woman with cancer, who told the court, "I don't want to suffer needlessly at the end." And she wanted the right to end her life. And the state argument was that such an action, say New Mexico said, that the doctor prescribed a drug to terminate someone's life, that banning doctor-assisted suicides was consistent with individual rights under their state constitution. Well, as a lawyer, you would think that if you're trying to protect individual rights, that the individual should have the right to make that decision. It should be their decision. Now, of course, the problem, you say, well, that's fine, Brown. You can leave it to the individual. What if the individual is having a mental breakdown, or they're very depressed, or they can't do it in the right state of mind, and they want to die just for the sake of dying? Should we let people just die just for the sake of dying? And I think the answer is no. But in these laws, there's a requirement for that the patient has to have made numerous oral and written requests, and that several doctors have signed off that the person has no chance of recovery and they are in extensive pain. Oregon, by the way, was the first state to adopt a Death with Dignity Act, they called it, back in 1997. Had these safeguards in it, and let's see, they have, I think there's been like 115 patients who obtained these drugs in 2012, the last year alone, to use the end of their life. And then Washington voters approved a similar law permitting doctor-assisted suicide. In Montana, it was 2009, the state Supreme Court, there is their rule that that was legal. And then Vermont legalized this practice in 2013, this past year. So five states have legalized this practice. And that's a tough decision, a very tough decision, because of the potential for abuse. I've thought about this long and hard. I think that if I take my own case, or the case of a loved one who was in pain all the time, that there was no hope for recovery, that they just were miserable, and several doctors you consulted, three, four doctors all said the same thing. There's no hope for recovery. This person just is in terrible pain, and all we're doing is giving them morphine and everything to get through the day, and they want to end their lives. I think that's an individual decision. Now, look, I'm more libertarian. I want the government to stay out of my life and I'll make my own decisions. I don't want the government telling me what to do. So it's a hard call for me, but I think when all is said and done, that the individual decision with those protections, so that someone can't be taken advantage of, you have to have competent physicians, a competent review board that says, yes, and looking all this over, we think that person has the right to make that decision. So I follow up on that with John Gose's book that we talked about, Protocol, his book Protocol. You can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. He raises those questions, and he raises questions about Obamacare in terms of whether you have death panels. Now, those who are interpreting this say, no, there are absolutely no death panels involved. But there are parameters, and often insurance companies already give you those parameters. I mean, when before you had the Affordable Care Act, I was insurance commissioner in Louisiana for 12 years, and I often got people writing me letters telling me that their insurance company would not cover this pre-existing condition, or their insurance company would not cover this procedure under their limitations. And so if the money's not there, we basically had a system where there was limited care and, in effect, had not death panels but life and death decisions not in the hands of the person who was seeking the care. Those are problems that are going to haunt us. And we're going to, I don't know, well, haunt, I guess, is a word that fits. We're going to struggle with for many years to come about where is the right balance there. When you talk about being libertarian, I've raised this question before about we have a controversy down here in my home state about whether motorcycle riders should be mandatorily required to wear helmets. And as a libertarian, as someone who wants freedom, I would say that's up to the individual, except for this caveat. I, as a taxpayer, and you as a taxpayer, should not have to pay for an individual's ridiculous decision, irresponsible decision, not to wear a helmet. Look, you're talking to a guy that had motorcycles most of his life. I'm 73 now, sold my big BMW 1150 GS, which is the fastest, strongest bike on the road, in my opinion. I love that bike. Rode all over the South in that bike. Bike rallies in Austin, Texas. I went to North Carolina in it. I got, though, that it's just hard to recover now. You don't get to be my age. Something that's a bruise or a month sprain 20 years ago becomes a permanent injury, and you get to be my age. You're speaking to a guy who just had hip surgery 4 months ago and knee surgery 2 weeks ago. So as a consequence, you ought to wear a helmet. Now, if you don't want to wear a helmet, that's your decision, but I shouldn't have to pay for it. You see, what I'm getting at is there should be some strong insurance requirements. You shouldn't get brain injured, be in a coma, and the state have to pay for your irresponsible actions over the next 20 years if you're in that coma. You see, you should have $1 million coverage or something like that if you're going to ride a motorcycle without a helmet. I got no problem with that because it's protecting, not protecting the person on the bike, it's protecting me so that I don't have to pay for the irresponsible decisions of someone that doesn't make that decision. You see where I'm coming from? So the right to die, if I'm in terrible pain and I've tried everything, I've tried medical marijuana that now seems to be sweeping the country, I've tried all types of drugs, I continue to be in massive pain. Three or four doctors, a review panel have looked me over and said there's no hope of ever recovering. Maybe I'm in a coma. In a case like that, should not be allowed to put in my will that I want to terminate this. I just don't want to go on. Should that be my decision? Should that be an individual? Should that be a right to die? Death with dignity? I think it should. And I don't make that decision easily, but I think it should. Jim Brown here in the Common Sense Show. I want to come back and talk about voting. You know, a lot of schools want to stop voting in the schools because they're afraid of some bomber or gunman coming in. I'll give you my perspective on that. A few other things to talk about. Hey, my website's www.jimbrownusa.com. Go to that website. You'll have some fun. I write a weekly column and write about some interesting things you'll find there on the website. Again, www.jimbrownusa.com. I'm going to get one more sip of coffee and come right back with you and make some more common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNlive.com.
Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
If you're a baby boomer or senior, please listen closely to this important message. Politicians in Washington are quietly plotting to decrease your Social Security payments drastically, and they want to do it soon. In fact, despite rising prices at the gas pump, grocery store, and doctor's office, retirees have received a mere 1.3% annual increase to their Social Security checks. Meanwhile, food stamp recipients have seen their payouts increase over 30% under the Obama administration. That's shocking. So when we stumbled upon a weird trick that could add up to $1,000 to your monthly Social Security checks, we knew we had to share it with you. To get started, simply go to MyBenefits311.com. Yes, it's true. You can take simple steps that could add up to $1,000 to your monthly Social Security payouts. Newsmax says MyBenefits311.com is a critical resource for anyone over 50. Go to MyBenefits311.com now. That's MyBenefits311.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Stanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, we had a pretty lively show, a busy show today. Sure glad you're joining us on the Common Sense Show, and hope you'll be a regular listener. Do you agree we had a great show today or not? Well, I would do a little better than that. I don't think I need to have the big make fun of or anything like that. You know, I had a pretty good show, didn't I? All right, that's a little better. That's a little better along those lines. Listen, the story that disturbed me, I was the chief elections officer in the state of Louisiana for 8 years and very proud of what we did to make voter accessibility out that way. I'm very strongly opposing this Voters' Rights Act that some members of Congress are trying to put back in place to say that many states in the South still are discriminating. I was there in 1980 to 1988. We didn't have any voter discrimination going on. That goes back 50 years ago. So Congress is playing politics in their particular areas with African-American voters that I think is wrong. But here's a story now. There's been a story that was in the variety of the papers this week that says that some schools want to end their traditional role as polling places because of security concerns, particularly after the Sandy Hook massacre. And I understand the security concerns, but I had to pick voting locations all over the state. I think some 3,000 different locations we had where people voted. And we used a lot of schools. And as is often the case, the school's cafeteria is not in the front door. It's off on one side of the school or the other, or maybe it's a gymnasium off on one side or the other. So it's very easy for a lot of schools to block off the entrance to where if you go vote, you don't go into the main school building. It's done in an off room, and or not that you can put up a little gate of some kind along that way. I would not like to see voting stop in our school sites. And I'll tell you why. I think it's a wonderful tool for democracy. And I know I've encouraged a lot of teachers to say, listen, on election day, when all these cars come to one side of the school, walk your classroom down there, and those voting commissioners, by and large, are very helpful. They'll tell you a time when it's not quite so busy, where you can there and let them explain what's going on. In fact, if you call your elections official, they'll probably give you a practice machine where the kids could actually vote in the classroom and learn about democracy, learn the importance of voting. We've got such a drop-off in voting in this country today. Only about half of those who could register to vote do so. And then of those who vote, only about half vote. So you've got about 25% of the population in this country determining who runs this country, who makes all these decisions of going to war and raising your taxes. And all these things that so many of you complain about are decided at the polling locations. When I do this talk show, and I've done a variety of talk shows all around the country and here in my home state, and someone gets on and complains, I'll maybe ask them, by the way, what's your precinct? And where you vote? Well, I don't remember. Well, who's your state representative? Well, I don't know. Who's your senator? I'm not sure. Are you a registered voter? And I'll tell you what, of a certain percentage of people that call me to complain about the government, most of those, now a lot of those people haven't even registered to vote. If you've not registered to vote, in my opinion, you give up your right in a democracy to complain. You just don't have a right to complain because you won't participate in the democratic system. Don't complain if you don't vote. That simple. But I like the idea of voting in schools because when you vote in schools, these kids get a chance to see what's going on. And by the way, class, you see all the commotion here? We've got a new governor we're going to elect or a new U.S. senator. Maybe it's the president of the United States. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what a democracy means. Let's talk about the importance of your right to vote. Let's talk about these items. What are some of the issues that people in our state or in our town are talking about? It's just a marvelous educational opportunity. And if you want to raise the concerns about, well, we got to start letting our schools serve as voting sites because of security concerns, what about high school basketball games? I mean, in a voting location, you got someone with a registration card walking in that's a pretty responsible person. Anybody can walk into a high school basketball game or a football game where you're all bundled up. You don't know what they're carrying under their coat. So if you're not going to allow voting in schools, let's call off football. Let's call off all sports activities. Let's call off the participation of parents when they have special days in school, Grandparents' Day. I look forward every year to go to Grandparents' Day. For my little 11-year-old granddaughter, they have Grandparents' Day. I'm there as far back as I can remember. I've gotten on a plane and gone to special days for other grandkids on both sides of the country, East Coast and West Coast. I don't want to give that up. So, sure, there should be some security concerns. Now, I don't mind going through a security checkpoint to check your bags and to check, go through what's the test machine you go through to check you for metal. I'm going to have trouble now. Boy, I told my wife the other day, we're going to have to take some extra time going on trips. Because when I go through the medical detector, I'm going to have a hip that's going to go off, beep, beep, beep. And I'm going to have a knee that goes off. I've got metal in both my hip and my knee now. Having done the knee surgery 3 weeks ago, having done the hip surgery 4 months ago. And so I've got metal in me. It'll certainly go off. But I don't want to give up my right to go to Grandparents' Day and go to high school basketball games and football games. I want to see my kids participate. And that's just as a compelling target, if not more so. You know, when you go to vote, you've got five commissioners there. You might have a little line of people there. Of course, the concern is they would break into the bigger part of the school. Find a way to lock off that part of the school so that you can vote by going. All these schools have got multiple doors going into them. There's a multiple door you can go in direct to vote. And so, to me, it just makes good sense to use that school as an educational tool so that our kids can learn about the importance of democracy. And I don't want to see that voting flow change. Little religion here now. A lot of you listen on stations where you're coming home from church on a Sunday afternoon. Various times my show is scheduled. My show is on Saturday, Sunday, sometimes the middle of the week all over the country. But by and large, most of the stations listen live on Sunday midday. And, I have an affinity for North Carolina. I went to the University of North Carolina. My family has a summer home or a year-round home up in Boone, North Carolina, Grandfather Mountain, up in that range. And so I consider North Carolina my second home. In any event, a North Carolina church's new plans for breaking bread are also breaking with its denomination wishes. There's a lot of controversy up there. Because what they put together is a virtual campus complete with streaming services, webcam Bible study, counseling via live chat, and a dedicated online pastor. Now, I don't have a problem with that. I think it's wonderful to have those sites. Look, if you're infirm and you can't get out, for 3 weeks I can hardly get out of bed with that hip and that knee. And I like to listen to some of the Sunday morning pastors that come on, see some of the services. I don't happen to be Catholic, but I've got a couple of friends who are priests that give marvelous services on television where I live. I like to tune in and hear their sermon. And so... television, for those who are infirm, those who are sick, those who just can't get out, to me is an extension of the world in which we live. Sure, it's much better to get up and get dressed and go out to the service and go to church. I think the experience I don't know if it's any better, but at least there's a special rapport that goes on by listening to the minister and by being there in the service to see the various artifacts, whether it be the cross or other symbols of your particular religion. That's the best. But Bible counseling over the Internet, Bible study over the Internet, having a virtual campus, I think that's a pretty good idea. I've been kicking around the idea of having Brown University, where I get prominent people throughout the country to come let me interview them. We'll put them on as a virtual campus here on my radio show and on my website at jimbrownusa.com. And by the way, within the evangelical churches, we've got heavy evangelical ministries down in my part of the country. They have for years made accessibility through apps and on the web to their churchgoers who just could not get away. And a controversial minister down my way is a fellow named Reverend Jimmy Swaggart. Most of you around the country have heard of Reverend Swaggart. At one point, he had the largest worldwide ministry in the whole country and still has a huge worldwide ministry. And my dad loved Jimmy Swaggart before he passed away and regularly sent a check and listened to his ministry on television. Now, here's where it gets a little stickier. This particular church in North Carolina says you should be able to take the sacraments at home. If you can't get out, you can take grape juice and you can take a wafer of some kind and actually take the sacraments. I'm okay with that. If you can't get out and you want to take the sacraments, if you're a Christian, I can handle that. I'd rather you go to church, but I can handle that. And so I know the human physical presence is important, but I think it's important just to relate with your spirit individually. So I share those thoughts with you about virtual sacrament. Is it a sacrilege? I don't think so. Hey, we're out of time. Gosh, I got so much more to talk about. We got to have an extra couple of hours. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. You folks have a great week. Enjoy yourselves. I'll see you at the same time next week here making some common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.